Welcome to a special edition of Political Rewind. On this Thursday, we wanted to bring you the latest news that we have on an issue that has been talked about, not just in Georgia, but across the country. Is Brian Kemp, as Secretary of State, trying to suppress the votes, particularly of minority voters in the state of Georgia? This has become a huge issue across the country. Brian Kemp vociferously denies this accusation, and there's not a lot of evidence that necessarily can give us a definitive answer. So I thought it would be worth bringing Stephen Fowler, GPB political reporter, into the studio to talk about the latest news we have on the voter suppression accusations, and also to sort of walk us through what, for me, has been a complicated issue that I haven't quite figured out. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Bill.
Let me start with some basics, and then we'll get to the latest news. So there are a number of lawsuits pending in Georgia by organizations who feel, in one way or another, Kemp's office has been suppressing the vote, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Some of those have to do with registration, and separately, some have to do with absentee ballots and whether they should be counted or not. Have I got that right?
Well, pretty much every part of Georgia's voting system is being sued, from the voter registration process to the absentee ballot process to the machines that are used on Election Day.
All right. So if we can, let's look at the 53,000, what we started out as 53,000 people whose registrations have been challenged because of Georgia's exact match law. Have I got that right?
Yeah. So the number, the Associated Press came out with a report saying 53,000 Georgia voters or potential voters were on a pending list, which meant that they still could vote. That was not mentioned in the story, but they still can vote if they correct the problems on the thing. I got a hold of data from the Secretary of State's office on Wednesday saying that number is actually 75,000. But once you take out people who are deceased or have registered twice or are 17, 16, or are people like Jesus Christ, you have a number of about 47,000 people that are on this pending list that have problems with everything from names being misspelled or somebody had a data entry problem in there. The Secretary of State's office also says that the majority of those came from using paper forms, because the exact match law, you fill out the voter registration and it has to match either the state's Department of Driver Services database or the federal Social Security Administration database. So the office says that these paper forms used Social Security numbers, and when those were run with the Social Security database, that something didn't add up. The numbers were wrong, the name was wrong, something didn't add up, and they're accusing the New Georgia Project, which Stacey Abrams helped found, of being the group that provided most of these inaccurate forms that led to these pending voters. One thing's for sure, the reason many of these people are on the pending list and are still on the pending list is these are probably people that haven't voted or haven't attempted to vote. Somebody came and knocked on their door and said, would you fill out these forms? They filled it out maybe correctly or incorrectly, and then, you know, we've never heard from them again. So these people aren't necessarily new voters registering in the last few months trying to vote in this election having these problems, but we do have people like that. Actually, one of our producers here on Second Thought is on the pending list because there's something wrong with her registration, so she's going to call and find out what she can do to correct that before Election Day.
All right, so if I have been challenged in terms of the match, I will get a letter telling me that's the case, right?
Right. So once these are entered in by county offices, because many elections decisions and things are done on a county level and not centrally, the system is flagged and it generates this letter that goes out to someone and says, your voter registration does not match. It may give the reason. If it's a Social Security Administration database, it doesn't give the specific, you know, you spelled Bill Nigut with a J or something like that. But the state's office says that people are notified about what happens. Now, whether somebody opens that letter that they get or, you know, it gets thrown in the trash with other junk mail or things like that, that remains to be seen. But the Secretary of State's office does notify people when their registrations are pending or are not rejected.
All right. So if I get that letter, I come to a polling place on election day with an ID that proves I am who I say I am, and I'm allowed to vote.
Well, so you can actually rectify this before election day.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I live in Fulton County. We're here in Fulton County. If I'm on the pending list, I can go to the Fulton County Board of Elections and bring my ID and say, this is me, Stephen Fowler. Here's my ID. And then they can say, okay.
Well, you can do it at the polls as well?
You can do it at the polls as well. And that's, you know, Georgia has a strict voter ID law, so you must bring a form of photo identification.
Sure.
But if it's your photo identification that also has your name, address, and other things like that, when you go to check in and it says pending, you know, if there's a problem with your address in the system and you bring your ID that says, this is my address, this is my name, then your registration then and there is moved to active. So it's not a provisional ballot.
Your vote will be counted immediately. There will be no further action before your vote is counted.
As long as you bring the right identification to get yourself off of the list.
So before we talk about what happened in federal court this week, let's make the political point that on one hand, as we've said, the Kemp campaign accuses Stacey Abrams in her capacity back with the New Georgia Project as overseeing a project that in some cases did sloppy registrations that have led to this problem, whatever. On the other side of it, what Stacey Abrams says is voter suppression doesn't necessarily only exist if it prevents you legally from casting a ballot. It exists if it creates for you obstacles or fear that going to the polls and casting a ballot is either going to be too big a hassle or, in fact, you're afraid of what kind of consequences you might face.
Right. So, you know, Georgia's voting system and election system is complicated. You know, many people who are politically savvy and keep up to date on things, there are still parts of the voting system that don't necessarily make sense or hard to do. And at the end of the day, you know, people run the voting system. People are there checking you in. People are filling out forms wrong or forgetting, you know, putting a typo in their last name. So a lot of these issues are systemic in the sense of it has to be an exact match. Signatures have to exactly match. Your name has to exactly match. But a lot of it does come from these barriers of, like you mentioned, making things difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to bring a photo ID and it has to match. And if you did this number wrong, you have to jump through hoops to get things done. It's not, you know, on the one hand, it's not as forgiving of, oops, my bad, I misspelled my own name, because from the Secretary of State's perspective and Brian Kemp's perspective, you have to protect the integrity of elections. And even if there are a few barriers to stepping, it's making sure that actual people are casting actual votes. But on the other hand, the Secretary of State's office has pointed out that there's actually been an increase in registered voters and active voters across demographic spectrums. And you look at the early voting numbers that are coming out, we're on pace for, right now, I think as of today, it's almost three times as many people have cast their ballots early than the 2014 midterms. And it's not just, you know, white Republican voters. So it's across the board. So it's an interesting yin and yang there. On the one hand, more people have been removed from the rolls and there's allegations of voter suppression and making it harder to vote. But then you have this evidence of more people voting.
Let's move on to another issue that we're dealing with right now in terms of alleged voter suppression. And that's this question of absentee ballots in which we're looking at signatures that don't match registrations, right?
Right. So there's actually two different lawsuits. One is saying that Gwinnett County and other counties are rejecting absentee ballots at a rate higher than the other 158 counties in Georgia. And a separate lawsuit saying that absentee ballots are being rejected for a signature not matching on the ballot is the same thing as somebody's voter registration. And so the court heard this week both of them combined, but decided to only deal with the signature mismatch part. And now today there's some slight tweaks that the ACLU has asked for and that I'm sure the state will ask for in this order. But the judge did rule this order that kind of neuters that signature mismatch rejection category.
What has she essentially told the Secretary of State and the counties that they have to do?
So the proposed order would allow the absentee ballots that have been rejected so far to be counted as a provisional absentee ballot, which, like the process we mentioned earlier, you have to go through and you have to prove, okay, this is my signature, that's the signature on the card, I'm me, I filled this out. And then for moving forward, for absentee ballots not to be rejected by using a signature mismatch, that instead they would be moved to the provisional pile and people would have to be notified, hey, your ballot is being in this pending pile, this provisional pile, excuse me, to we have to verify your signature, please come in, call, do whatever.
This is creating for county election offices an enormous amount of last minute work that they're uncomfortable having to do, which is one of the arguments on the other side of this case.
Well, actually, so according to the latest numbers, the Secretary of State's office every night uploads an absentee database showing who's applied for ballots, who's been accepted, and when things have been returned, and includes both mail-in and, you know, the in-person early voting. Mm-hmm. So the numbers I looked at said that there are 160 ballots across the state that are on hold because of signature mismatch across the state out of all of the mail-in ballots that have been done. So it's a relatively small number that this applies to, but it could be more heading into Election Day. The process wouldn't necessarily change because they have to review every ballot that comes in anyways. There's been more than 113,000 ballots that have been accepted in the mail-in absentee category, so they have to check the signatures anyways.
So your feeling is that the argument that this puts an undue onus at the last minute on the counties is probably not a particularly persuasive argument.
Well, the onus is actually more on the individual voter. They're the ones that had the alleged mismatch, and then they have to come in and correct it. They have to, and if somebody votes absentee by mail, there's probably a reason that they're not able to come in person or that they don't want to come in person. So by moving it to the provisional status and, maybe a few more ballots will come in because somebody will head to the polling office or come in. But ultimately, these are still probably going to not be counted if somebody doesn't come in and verify their signature.
You have followed this very closely, and you seem to have a good grasp of how things have unfolded. I have to acknowledge I still can't quite wrap my head around it. There are so many moving parts to these various challenges that when we're on the air on the show, I sometimes am a little nervous about what I say because is this as complicated as I think it is?
It is as complicated as – I mean, I did a story on how Georgia's voting system works from the moment a ballot is created until the last vote is counted, and it is a multi-step, multi-county, multi-person process that is not for the faint of heart. And, and what doesn't what further complicates things is, national outlets that pay attention to this race and come in and see a snippet of something here and turn it into a story and turn it into a news cycle without fully understanding the context behind what's happening here in Georgia and how the Georgia law is and how it works. And I think in a way, the real voter suppression at times is making people uncomfortable or unaware of how the system works and making it seem like an insurmountable thing instead of working to educate about here's how you can get off the pending list, here's how your absentee ballot doesn't have to be rejected, here's the things you do to fill out. And so I think sometimes national media kind of contributes to some of these voter suppression narratives by making people think that, it's hard to vote and their votes don't count.
Stephen Fowler, thanks for talking to us. And we'll be back on the air with Political Rewind tomorrow at 2. Hope you can join us.